Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast. Each month, listen in as a team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's episode, we're focused on EFMP, the Exceptional Family Member Program. We know PCS, or permanent change of station moves, are stressful enough without worrying about continuity of care for your family. Your local EFMP office can help alleviate that stress by helping you navigate the EFMP process before your next move. Let's get started.
Hello, Fort Novosel, and welcome back. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Leah Stetter, the Commander and Director of Lister Army Health Clinic, and your host for this month's episode of Lister Health Talk. This month, our episode is focusing on something that's near and dear to families' hearts, the Exceptional Family Member Program. Today, I'm joined by Ms. Whitney Sutton and Ms. Sarah Smith, our two outstanding EFMP coordinators.
Hello.
Hello.
Most of our listeners are probably familiar with EFMP, and whether you're brand new to EFMP, a seasoned parent looking for updated resources, or a leader trying to better support your soldiers and their families, this episode is for you. We're going to break down the basics and clear up any misconceptions about EFMP. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's talk about what EFMP really means and how it's here to serve those who serve. If you're lucky enough to be on Fort Novosel, you're also lucky enough to have one of the best EFMP offices within our military health system. And Ms. Sutton and Ms. Smith run an exceptional EFMP office, and they will be able to help walk you through this process. Ms. Sutton, could you tell us a little bit about what EFMP actually is?
Yes, ma'am. So the Exceptional Family Member Program is in place to ensure that your family members can receive the care that they need at whatever installation the service member is assigned to. So this includes any dependencies that are under your TRICARE. It is also in place educationally to ensure that the schools where you're going to be located can support the care that would be needed in the schools, and to include any kind of special transportation or special rooms, things like that, in the schools. EFMP also offers stabilization options if you're receiving care at a location and you need to continue with that specific provider. We can offer stabilization. We offer compassionate reassignments. If you are in a location and you're not getting the care you need, your provider leaves, or whatever the case may be, we can look at compassionate reassignment, and also respite care, where people can come into your home and help you take care of those family members if their medical conditions are that severe.
Whitney, who is eligible for EFMP, or who has to enroll in EFMP?
So any active duty military dependent, such as a spouse or a child, with any kind of chronic medical conditions to include mental health, or any kind of special educational needs requiring specialized services within schools.
Enrollment for EFMP has changed in the last few years, hasn't it? Sarah, how do you enroll in EFMP, and can you explain what the difference is in the last few years if folks have not PCS'd or aren't familiar with the changes?
Yes, ma'am. Our system has now gone online. It's on the Enterprise EFMP website. If you have a family member that has a provider that is impaneled at Lister, everything is completely paperless. However, if you have a provider that is off post, we still require the hard copy 2792s, but they still have to be uploaded into the Enterprise EFMP website, and that's where we'll do our family member travel screenings and our enrollment.
One of the key takeaways is it has to be done online now, correct? I can no longer just walk in and expect to be enrolled?
That's correct, yes, ma'am.
Is EFMP mandatory?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Per AR 608-75, which is the EFMP regulation, if your service member is active duty, this includes National Guard and reservists, and those that are getting ready to come active duty on Title 10 and Title 32 orders, any family member of those active duty soldiers has to enroll.
If any of my family members get new conditions, do they have to enroll?
Yes, ma'am. Even if you've just enrolled your child or your family member, or you've updated, if there is a new diagnosis, especially if there's any additional specialty providers that that family member needs, any specialty care that is new that the family member needs, we have to update.
Now, we talked enrollment to EFMP. That's needed for any type of PCS, correct?
It's specifically for overseas. That's what our family member travel screening is for. However, if you believe that your family member has a condition that meets the criteria for enrollment, we will go ahead and do that enrollment for you.
Okay. So you mentioned travel screenings. Can you elaborate a little bit about what travel screenings are?
Our travel screenings, the medical director will review the medical records of any family members that are going to be traveling overseas with a service member. if our medical director finds anything that raises any red flags or she needs additional information, the EFMP case coordinator will reach out to that family member to request additional medical information. But it's just to make sure that our families do get any care that they need at a gaining installation, especially if it's overseas.
When should families start the screening process?
As soon as that service member finds out that he or she may be going overseas, we want them to start that process.
Whitney, how long does the screening process normally take?
If your family provides all the required documentation, the process could take between 30 and 90 business days. It's highly encouraged to families that they start this process as soon as possible so that if we are missing any documents or we do require any additional documents, we have time to get those.
What do family members need to complete a travel screening?
The only thing that we require to complete the overseas family travel screening packet is a current physical, and that physical must be done within the last year. So if you started your packet in February of 25, we can take a physical anytime between February of 2024 to February of 2025.
Do family members need to provide medical records for their families to be screened?
They do if our medical director happens to find any red flags, say on their physical, the family member takes Adderall. We're going to want additional documentation to see if that family member requires any type of follow-up with a behavioral health provider, counseling, or is it just PCM managed?
Do the family members need to get the medical records, or in most cases, can you ladies get the medical records?
Typically, what we do is we advise the family member to sign the release of information and request those records either from PAD here at Lister, if they're impaneled here at Lister, or those medical facilities can end up faxing those records directly to the EFMP office.
Does doing the travel screening mean that you're automatically enrolled in EFMP?
No, ma'am. It is a screening to see if our family members do require enrollment, but just getting a screening does not mean that you're automatically enrolled in the program.
Can one person do the travel screening for all family members?
Yes, ma'am. The service member, they can do the family travel screening packet. They're going to need to initiate it anyways. It has to be initiated by the service member. So the service member can technically go in, initiate the EFMP packet and EEFMP. They can bring us all the physicals or upload them into the family travel screening packet within EEFMP, and we can communicate directly with the service member. The same goes for the spouse. The service member does have to initiate the screening in EEFMP, but we can obviously communicate with the spouse about all things needed, and they can communicate back to us.
Can you communicate all medical related things with the service member?
No. So if the service member has a dependent that is of legal age, we cannot release any medical information to the service member. That includes the EFMP summaries that we give out. We will be more than happy to provide them with a summary stating who is enrolled in their family on that summary, but the medical information we'll be having to take out.
I just have one item to add. If we have those adult family members that are secondary or lifelong dependents, and there is a release of information on file, that is the only reason that we are authorized to disclose those medical records or the EFMP summary for that family member.
I do want to circle back to secondary dependent later on, but even if I don't have family members enrolled in EFMP, do my family members still have to be screened?
That is correct. Yes, ma'am. We screen all family members that are traveling overseas with a service member to include our college age student.
Do I still have to have family members screened even if I'm going unaccompanied?
No, ma'am, you do not.
Now, would you recommend that I do have family members screened if I am going unaccompanied?
We do recommend if you are planning on bringing them at a future date. If it's going to be deferred travel, we definitely want to get them screened. However, the Military Personnel Division, they will ask at the very beginning of the process if you are going accompanied or unaccompanied. But as soon as you say unaccompanied, a package is not started. But if you say accompanied, then you'll have to start a package in the Enterprise EFMP website.
And then is there anything else you recommend to our families that they do to prepare for upcoming moves?
Ensure that they have physicals every year. And then if your family member requests a specialty referral or they receive a specialty referral, please attend those appointments, because our medical director is going to need those records to determine whether that family member needs to be enrolled or not based on the documentation saying follow-up care is recommended or the patient can follow up with their primary care provider.
I think it's always important as we enter into the busiest time of PCS season, and I know we hit it already, but to enroll early and start the process as early as possible. And just as a reminder, EFMP is really to make sure that the appropriate medical care is in place for your families where you're going.
Yes, ma'am.
Because not all medical care changes over time. Just because you may have been stationed in an area before does not mean the same medical care is available.
That's correct.
You mentioned secondary care. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
So our secondary dependents are anybody that has a type of medical condition where that family member is going to end up being on your TRICARE for the rest of their life, essentially. So you're going to be providing their insurance. You provide housing. The enrollment process for a secondary dependent, I know it does go through DEERS, but for the EFMP side of the house, if you have a secondary dependent, and especially if they're adult, they have extensive health care issues, there's a program that is called the Extended Care Healthcare Option, or ECHO, and it provides additional resources for our family members. But you have to be enrolled in EFMP to get access to those resources that ECHO provides, such as respite care, which allows specialized providers to go into a home and they will take care of your family member. They will have the certifications that family member needs. That way, that allows the caregiver time for themselves, whether it's, hey, I'm going to take an hour nap, or I'm going to run to the store, I'm going to pick up our groceries. It is a great resource.
That's excellent. And you mentioned the EFMP office helps our family members get their family members enrolled in that too, correct? Once they go through DEERS. Just a point of clarification, the medical enrollment for secondary dependents is through the EFMP office, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And then can you explain a little bit about the enrollment for respite care?
When we do the enrollment, what we'll do is we will actually send a referral to the ACS EFMP coordinator at Building 5700. She actually provides additional information to the family. She starts working with them, and then there's actually a respite care panel after several meetings with the ACS coordinator. And the panel will determine whether the family meets the criteria for respite care or not.
Excellent. There's a lot of good information. I think it's information that not a lot of people actually know about.
Yes, ma'am.
Before we wrap up, is there any last nuggets of information you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Just ask our families to start the process as soon as they know that they're going to PCS Overseas and get their physicals every year.
We just highly encourage our service members, if you haven't seen any movement on your travel screening packet in 2 to 3 weeks, just reach out to us via email, phone, or during our walk-in hours on Wednesday and Thursday so that we can help check on the status of your packet.
If somebody wants to contact you guys, not just through the portal, what's the best way for them to contact you?
You can check out the lister.tricare.mil website, and it has a complete list of both of our phone numbers, our email address, our hours of operations, when we do walk-ins, and where our office is located.
Thank you, ladies, for joining me. I'd like to encourage our listeners to start the EFMP process as soon as they find out they're PCSing. Don't wait until you get your RFOs. Just remember, the EFMP enrollment is now online and not in person. And in general, EFMP is truly a program. Even though it is stressful during PCS, it is truly a program that is in place to make sure that your families are going to a location that can best support your family's health needs, to make sure that medically that they are going to be taken care of in the best manner within our military health system that has a tremendous amount of care to offer. And until next time, Fort Novosel, our care keeps them in the air.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. You can catch all of our episodes on your favorite streaming platforms. Stay healthy, Fort Novosel.